This is a Zach Feldman Show replay on ZRadioLive.com.
The Web City Music Station, Z Radio Live. This is the Zach Feldman Show. Joining me over the phone is an artist. He has a brand new album that just came out called We Need to Talk About The Kev. It's, of course, The Kev here on the Web City Music Station, Z Radio Live. The Kev, how you doing? Thanks so much for joining me here.
Great. Thanks for having me, Zach.
Anytime. Tell me all about this brand new comedy album.
It's my third album as The Kev. My first was completed in early 2020, and obviously the launch night was delayed for obvious reasons. I finally held it. The second one I finished in quick succession, really, because couldn't go out, so it was a very fruitful time creatively, but for all the wrong reasons. And this one, it's taken a bit longer to finish, and it's I'd say the songs fall into a few. My songs in general fall into four categories. Number one is I play a character who whose behavior I don't condone, but people find entertaining. So an example of that would be a song like Romance Tonight.
And you know, one of the songs we're going to hear is Wiggle Your Hips, which is on the new album too. Tell me a little about that song.
It's a pop song. And because I realized I'd never had a pop hit before, so I listened to a lot of pop hits. And I noticed a trend in the industry that historically pop hits were aimed at teenage girls, but now they seem to be aimed at a very different demographic. And as I mentioned in our previous interview, baby boomers started to be born just at the end of the Second World War. So now the elder population is at an all-time high. So it makes perfect sense for the music industry to be aiming songs at the dirty old men demographic.
Well, you know, I mean, it makes sense because, I mean, that's where society's kind of headed to now, you know. When did you kind of start creating this character, the Kev? You know, I mean, what was the reason behind it? Were you always a comedian?
Oh, no, by no means. So I moved to China in 2007, and it was meant to be a belated gap year, turned into 11 years, you know how it is. Mm-hmm. And the second year I was there, I started writing songs in Chinese, and it was just a sort of study method that got out of hand. And for most of the year 2009, I wanted nothing more than to gain recognition for my Chinese language songwriting, although work-wise, I was drifting around and scrounging around working as an English teacher in the gray areas of the legal immigration system. And then 2010, I realized that none of my stuff was anywhere close to good enough. So I had to completely go back to the beginning and from scratch. And then in 2012, I discovered musical comedy, and I just realized it was the best way to turn my weaknesses into strengths, because even if I were an absolutely perfect singer-songwriter, a Caucasian singing in Chinese would never be taken any more seriously than a singing monkey. So I thought, might as well make a strength of not being taken seriously. And then that got quite a bit of traction online and offline as well, performing in bars.
What were you doing in China? What were you doing there?
The first three and a bit years I was teaching English, and then I got a job in a newspaper. I was there for 2 years. And the second year at the newspaper was a really great year creatively. That's when I started writing songs that were connecting to audiences.
And you know, you also wrote songs for other artists as well, you know, or just, you know, wrote Chinese songs while you were there too. Tell us about that.
So tell you about my Chinese songs or?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Tell us a little about, you know, the experience of doing that. If you don't want to talk about it.
No, it's so the second year I lived in a small town, and the only real entertainment was karaoke. So I sort of immersed myself in Chinese pop music.
Yeah.
And Chinese literature as well, because the city I lived in, Changde, there's a river ran through it, and up in the park by the river, a wall, probably at least 2 miles long, a wall with that poetry, ancient and modern, inscribed on it. And I just spend days and days there just reading the Chinese poetry.
Oh, that's awesome.
I just sort of got really immersed in the musicality of the local language, so I started writing songs in it. And then, like I said, in 2012, I discovered musical comedy. Mm-hmm. And I suppose the first Chinese songs that really got out and connected to people and started winning me fans were sort of Chinese versions of comedy English songs that I'd heard. Like one of my favorite musical comedy acts is a Canadian band called the Arrogant Worms. So they have a song called Having Fun Is Bad For You. So I have a Chinese song that's pretty much just a version of that.
When did you learn Chinese originally?
I just taught myself when I was living there.
That's got to be so difficult. I mean, how difficult was that process?
Well, the first year I just sort of lived like a monk. I didn't go out much, whereas most of my male colleagues were going out drinking and getting laid every night, I would be very studious about learning the language. And then the second year, I was already pretty conversant, well, very conversant within a year, but far from fluent. And then the second year, I lived in a city called Changde in Hunan province, which is really the ass end of nowhere. What Hunan is province is what the Americans would call a flyover state. It's like living in Arkansas or Oklahoma. So the positive side of that was that it was a very immersive experience in the real China. Just as Ned Flanders famously said, somewhere between New York and LA, there's a overlooked patch of land called America. This was the real China. I guess the downside of living there was it wasn't a very sophisticated place, and so your finger wasn't really on the button of what the in crowd.
Of what was going on there, sort of thing.
Yes.
But the food was probably delicious there, though. I mean, compared to, over here in the States.
I suppose so. It was very authentic.
Did you have like a favorite dish when you were there?
Good question. I had a favorite restaurant. It was what they call a hot pot, which is where you just boil everything in front of you.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Occur to me because they have these tiny hole in the wall restaurants that look very uninviting, but when you go in, the food's amazing and it costs next to nothing. It only crossed my mind afterwards that you boil the food in front of you, so every table had a full size gas canister, and all of the men smoke indoors and outdoors.
And that's got to be a completely 182, being able to smoke indoors, going back to the 1970s.
Well, yes, because in that particular part of the world, handing someone a cigarette from your breast pocket is the male equivalent of a handshake. I didn't smoke, but I would carry cigarettes in my breast pocket for that reason.
just to be friendly at all. But, something also interesting about you, too, I mean, speaking of the cultural side of you, besides the learning Chinese and being part of China for the longest time, you also did Spanish guitar for a little bit. You did a bunch of covers of big name songs like Stairway to Heaven as a Spanish guitar song.
Yeah. Well, I didn't write the sheet music. I think I got that from the LA Guitar Academy, who are some of the best guitarists in the world. And it's just during my final stretch in China, I was working for a Fortune 500 company there from 2014 to 2018. And the evenings, I realized I needed to get on the straight and narrow when it came to lifestyle. So I cut down my drinking a great deal. So any evening where I didn't drink, I would stay home and practice the guitar. So I accumulated all those classical guitar videos during those quiet evenings in. It was the best way to pass the time as far as I was concerned. So yeah, I've got a few of those, the classical guitar covers. And now this year, part of my New Year's resolution was that this year, every month I'm recording a movie soundtrack on the guitar.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really cool. Do you have any specific movies you're going to be doing?
This month was Terminator 2.
Oh, nice.
I'll definitely take in Zorba the Greek at one point, and Rocky, the first. So Gonna Fly Now from Rocky. I'll record that.
Oh, that's gonna be a lot of fun. That's gonna be awesome. But you know, back to this new album too that just came out. We need to talk about the Kev. You know, was there a song on there that kind of spoke to you the most?
Well, I said in an interview recently, I think even of all the songs I've written so far, certainly in English, my most archetypal The Kev song is Romance Tonight, which I think is track 3 on the album. And probably, it's hard to tell because I was on the stage lights were on me and I couldn't really see the audience. But I think it's probably the biggest and best laughs I've ever got from an audience, and I usually get pretty big laughs, was when I performed the song Romance Tonight, which is, like I said, it starts out as a really conventional love song, and it very slowly builds up into being a song about murdering a homeless guy.
Oh my God. And, I did hear that song too, and I thought it was very funny, so I'm glad that that is your top song there too.
I gave it its debut, on stage debut, in August last year, which was my biggest ever gig. And I'd never played it to an audience before, but I was pretty confident that it would go down well.
Did you ever see, I mean, you said before, you know, obviously you weren't really more into the comedy side of things. You were more of, you know, the musician, but, you know, did you ever do stand-up ever? Or ever, like, dabble in it?
Well, not very well, but what my plan is, over the years, I've been performing musical comedy, which isn't that long, really. I've been, my between song patter, my between song jibber jabbering has been getting longer and longer. And also, it's been getting better with practice. So I think at one point, I'll be able to phase out the music altogether if I want to.
Is that the end goal? Is that the end goal to kind of phase out the music completely?
I think it would be a great achievement if I could, because I think stand-up is probably the hardest form of comedy. Because in the past, last year, I wrote a lot of comedy skits, and I really wanted to introduce between song skits for this album. And I'm very pleased with some of the skits I've written, but I haven't included them in this album because it's just getting them onto the platforms like Spotify and Apple Music would be too much of a pain. But I am pleased with them because, you know, famous examples include the Fugees in the album in the 90s, their album The Score, which came out in 1996. That album, which most of their best and best known songs like Ready or Not and Killing Me Softly are on that album. But there are between song skits in that. And let's just say the racial politics haven't aged well.
That's fair enough. You know, so I mean, tell me all about, you know, kind of creating your music from scratch too. You know, I mean, what's your process on kind of writing the music out?
My favorite part of the process is sitting alone in a coffee shop, jotting down ideas, the seeds of ideas, and then gradually over a period of months, I'll have sessions dedicated to just jotting down raw ideas, and then other sessions which will be bringing out the beginnings of a song, and then a song can take anything from less than an hour to over a year to finish. I think the quickest I've written a song in the past few years is a song on my second album called Someone Somewhere. Mm-hmm. which I wrote at the same week as this country went into its third lockdown, and also the same week as the Capitol riots happened in America, so everything was just going to hell. And that just took less than an hour to write because it was about how the world was ending,
and it was like real and it was raw, you know. It was right in the moment too.
It was timely.
Yes, it was definitely timely.
So part one of the process is jotting down ideas in a notebook, which I carry everywhere. Part two, I'll have separate sections for trying to bring ideas together, like things that wouldn't necessarily match. So, for example, Romance Tonight is a love song about a Tinder date that ends up about murdering a homeless guy. So very, very disparate ideas. But when you hear the whole song, it does kind of come together. Probably my least favorite part of the process is the actual recording, because it's not so much difficult as just arduous. because you have to just keep recording take after take after take. Mm. And then also, my apartment is next to a train track, so sometimes I have to throw away perfectly good takes.
Oh, that's the worst. That's gonna be the worst. That would drive me nuts. That's why I have a good gate on my system. That's why I make sure, you know, the gate's all good.
Have to be
on my audio.
Well, you don't survive 11 years in China without having a high annoyance threshold.
I wouldn't know, shockingly. You know, I mean, then again, I've also never been in China, so I can't speak to it. But it sounds like a hell of a time. It really does, you know. But tell me, you know, for those who are just learning about you today, you know, and we're going to hear the brand new song, Wiggle Your Hips, in just a few seconds here. But, you know, what can you describe your sound as?
I'd say it's a mixture of cynicism and silliness.
I love that. I love that. It's short and sweet too.
Like I said, my songs would probably fall into four categories. Category one, like playing a character who behaves very badly. Mm-hmm. So for example, Cheap Hotel. category number two is a whimsical story that is a quite close to the truth, like my song Voice of a Generation about being a millennial, or the song Bucket List, which is about a couple who are absolutely perfect for each other in every way except their one heroic flaw, which is that they're really, really bad at talking dirty. That was a really fun song to write, because you can generate so many ideas thinking about couples who are just inept at dirty talk.
That's awesome.
Another category of song is where I say exactly what I really think and put it to an upbeat melody and hope that the audience don't get too pissed off. category number four would be the spoof song, like Wiggle Your Hips is obviously a mock pop song. Mm-hmm. It is a catchy pop anthem, but it's also making fun of catchy pop anthems.
Yes.
And Shut Up and Sing does the same thing for rock. The great British indie song does the same thing for sort of Radiohead style songs. My favorite Bunch of Millionaires is a soccer song.
Well, that's awesome. You know, and I'm excited for those to listen to this brand new song, Wiggle Your Hips, in just a few seconds. But before you go, you know, what's next for the Kev?
So for my next music album, a direction I want to go in musically is to have more catchy sing-along choruses, which my current body of work doesn't have enough of those. There are some. I think Cheap Hotel, like when I performed at my big gig in August last year, when people were pouring out of the venue, they were walking down the street singing, "With Kevin McGeary, I had a cheap hotel. With Kevin McGeary, I had a cheap hotel," which was very encouraging. So I want to write more of those types of choruses. Also, I want to take the next step as a skit writer and to film actual videos. But the video, I don't really know that many actors, so it's going to be hard to find a cast.
Okay.
Especially because, of course, actors have their IMDb and their careers to worry about. Working with me isn't necessarily the best career move, so...
Well, I wouldn't say that. Come on. I mean, I'm working with you. You know, I don't think I'm ruining my career.
Well, I'll just have to pay them. So, for example, in Romance Tonight, there's three characters. There's the narrator. Mm-hmm. There's a woman who the narrator's on a date with, who's described in the song as a female, tall, dark, handsome millionaire. So most women, most actresses would be flattered about being approached about that role, hopefully. And there's... the third character in that movie is the tramp with lower body hygiene problems. And most of my male friends would be perfect for that role, but that would be an awkward conversation to ask them to play that part.
Well, you know, I'm excited to see what's next for you, the Kev, and I'm excited for people to check out the album, but also, you know, where can people find you on social?
A bit of everywhere. So I'm on Instagram as The Kev 84, TikTok as The Kev Music, and YouTube just under my own real name, Kevin McGeary. And it all comes together on my own website, kevinmcgeary.com.
Awesome. Well, Kev, thank you so much for joining me here on the Zach Feldman Show. And seriously, best of luck with the entire career. But right now, we're going to hear your brand new song, Wiggle Your Hips by The Kev, here on the WebC Music Station, Z Radio Live. The Kev, thanks so much for joining me here.
Thank you.
Want to hear more? Listen to the Zach Feldman Show every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on ZRadioLive.com.